Fellow Freedom fans, David Alan Carmichael here. This is Faith and Freedom Show, Preservative Talk Radio. Engaging these issues on a constitutional basis, biblical basis, basis of right versus wrong. Number here is 888-248-2046. That's 888-248-2046. Before I went to the break, I was talking about marriage and in the civil law, talking about Sir William Blackstone explaining in civil law, they really only look at marriage as a contract. So you see a lot of statutes trying to have alternative kind of ways of marriage. Not really marriage, it's a civil union. Civil union. See, a civil union, is that a contract? What is that? Is that an agreement? See, agreements, people do things that are not necessarily lawful by agreement. That's what you do on your credit card. By agreements, not a contract. So those boundaries of contract being willing, able, and doing, the three elements, sometimes there's some able in there that would make your contract void ab initio, or voidable, depending on the situation. So we talked about some things that would make it, it turns out in the laws we inherited in this country, those rights that are retained by the people, rather than the wrongs that were rejected by the people, but those rights, those right things that we retain, we have to understand that there are certain things that were contrary to the Bible, the civil law, said it's something that the civil law doesn't hold it as sin, that just really it's something that can be voidable, that won't have any protection in law if it's voided. But even though if it's somebody declares, hey, what they did is wrong, they still would get protection in law with if they were acting as if they were married, in spite of the church saying, no, you're not, that's a, you're doing it wrong, you're sinful. Well, they would give them protection, but there was a limit to it. Let's just see what some of these things. But such marriages not being void in their inception, but voidable by sentence of separation. In other words, if they quit, if the church says, hey, you're misbehaving. Herod, you're with your brother's wife. Stop it. Now, if Herod stopped it, if they repented, okay, they're separated. They're not living in as a married relationship. By the way, notice it was a man and a woman, a natural relationship. If they stopped, then they could say, well, let's go ahead and void this and let's make it declared in law that's recognized that you guys are no longer behaving as if you're married. So they're voidable. How about sister, brother and sister? And there's times in history a brother married a sister, didn't know it, didn't do it volitionally, like, you know, as an incestuous, too much family, you know, they weren't violating those family intimacy boundaries or anything like that. But if it was discovered, it was voidable. But it was natural still. You got to realize Cain, Abel, Seth, they married their sisters. There wasn't anybody else. The gene pool was good enough back then. It wasn't a public inconvenience or an inconvenience to society to have the gene pool tied together there. Okay, that's just the way it was. But it is separable by civil law. Now let's go on to some other things here. It says, by statute, and they're going to cite 32 Henry VIII, of all people that have a law, it is declared that all persons may lawfully marry, but such as are prohibited by God's law. So it was a law of the king, which was a civil law. He made the civil law match God's law. And that all marriages contracted by lawful persons in the face of the church, so if they would lawful persons in the face of the church and consummate with bodily knowledge, that's an important element there. So that's part of the do, huh? Willing, able, and perform. Lawful persons of the face of the church consummate with bodily knowledge. That's an important element of marriage, of real marriage. There's bodily parts that make that happen. And fruit of children shall be indissoluble. And can't dissolve them. I'm having trouble speaking words that I should be able to say because they really are English. But you're not allowed, he said, if it is truly a lawful marriage is contracted by lawful persons, in the face of the church, consummate with bodily knowledge and fruit of children shall be into... It's just you can't break it up. Right? How's that? And he said nothing, and this is the statue of King Henry VIII, that nothing shall impeach any marriage but within Levitical degrees. So it was biblically based. In other words, it was not... You're not able to contract with your chihuahua. One, your chihuahua, how can you tell whether it's willing or not? And then able, and then the perform, who knows? You don't want to go there. But within the Levitical degrees, the farthest of which is that between uncle and niece. So in other words, if you're a cousin, you could marry. But if your uncle, couldn't marry your niece. And that was the Levitical boundaries. That was for civil convenience, for genes the gene pool, family integrity, boundaries, intimacy, affection, natural affection in a familiar way rather than in erotic way or any way like that. By the same statute, all impediments arising from pre-contracts to other persons were abolished and declared of none effect unless they had been consummated with bodily knowledge, in which case the canon law holds such contract to be marriage de facto. And then, of course, they had other statutes that came and juggled out around a bit. So you've heard the term common law marriage. Common law marriage is somebody who would be lawfully could marry, could be husband and wife. Those are the two parties, a husband and a wife, a man and a woman. And that they are lawfully able to contract. Neither of them are married to somebody else. They're not within that family boundary. They're not a brother, sister, niece, and uncle. So they had that boundary. They're cousins or further as far as their family lineage goes back all the way to Noah. So as long as they could lawfully marry and they were willing and they were able, see, that's a lawfully. They're lawfully able and they're willing and they do, under common law, they were married. There was no external having to be blessed in a church or a civil magistrate stamping the paper. It just was. Course, they'd have to come and to the court and give evidence. Hey, we were willing, we were able, we did. So if it came up and they had needed certain rights protected as a married unit, they'd have the ability to do that. There are other sort of disabilities are those which are created or at least enforced by the municipal laws, and though some of them may be grounded on natural law, yet they are regarded by the laws of land not so much in the light of any moral offense as on account of civil inconveniences they draw after them. These civil disabilities make the contract void ab initio and not merely voidable. And not that they dissolve a contract already formed, but they render the parties incapable of forming any contract at all. They do not put asunder those who are joined together, but they previously hinder the junction. And if any person under these incapacities come together, it's meretricious and not a matrimonial union. So there was something in the law of the land that we retained, those rights we retained as we came into this country, that were common law legal disabilities. And he's going to list these here. The first of these legal disabilities is a prior marriage or having another husband or wife living. Isn't that something? So these are void ab initio. So that would be polygamy or bigamy. It's really bigamy to act in polygamy. The first of these disabilities is a prior marriage with them still living. Besides the penalties consequent upon it as a felony, the second marriage is to all intents and purposes void. The second marriage didn't happen. They were not able. It was naturally unlawful based on God's plan for it. Man and woman shall be joined together. Two shall become one flesh. And who God has put together, let no man separate. Polygamy being condemned both by the law and of the New Testament and the policy of all prudent states, especially in these northern climates. He quotes some others. The next legal disability is want of age. This is sufficient to void all other contracts on account of imbecility of judgment of the parties contracting. You understand that they can't be willing if they have not come of age. They haven't been emancipated. They don't have enough sense to make a determination. Like, say, if some religious leader in, you know, about 1400 years ago consummated an act, physical knowledge, with a 9-year-old. It's unlawful. It's unwilling. That's aggravated sexual assault is what it is. And it goes on, it says, if a boy under 14 or a girl under 12 at this age, at this time of life, he said the marriage is inchoate and imperfect. He goes on some more stuff. And then because I'm running out of time, I got to kind of sum this up. The principle of law here, it was okay. They show you in nature, if it was a willing man, a willing woman who were not family, so it was not incestuous, they were willing and they were able and they did. They actually had the ability to do that natural physical consummation. Come together with bodily knowledge in the way it was designed by nature. If it was something other than that, it is not lawful. You cannot lawfully contract. Marriage is a contract in the civil law. So how do you get the government, which is an instrument of law, to recognize a marriage or a contract that is unlawful, goes contrary to nature? goes contrary to the revealed law in the Bible. And even if you throw that out, it goes contrary to nature. There's certain physically bodily things that were designed for marriage and procreation that are just not doable. So willing, you might be willing. And that's an issue you're going to have to deal with. But just because you're willing doesn't mean that you should ought to be given the able, because the perform can't even happen. So there's a lot of dysfunctions when people say, well, why it's not fair for boys to not be able to marry boys. Fair has nothing to do with it. It's a reality check here, folks. There's civil law is there to protect that which is right, that which is perfect. If we say boys can marry boys, boys can marry chihuahuas, because the very thing that would keep boys from marrying boys is the thing that would keep boys from marrying chihuahuas, or boys from marrying their sister, or boys from marrying both sisters, the very same thing. So we're going to get the baby out with the bathwater. I noticed a civil union statute that came up in Florida a couple of years ago. They listed all these incestuous, well, they would be a civil union, except they won't be able to have a civil union with a sister or with, and they listed all these things that were prohibitions of the Bible. And I'm thinking, on what basis would you write a statute that would be so unfair to people who would like to marry their two sisters? So it's your reference. If you throw out the reference, your equation won't work. You can have all these variables. You know, there's got to be a fundamental thing that you're relying on and trusting and acting on to get the benefit of the rule of nature. Gravity works. You can benefit from it. You can get hurt if you do the wrong things with it. There's a certain laws of physics of cause and effect. I think I was reading a statistic today. Is that those who engage in homosexual conduct are 8,000 times more likely to contract HIV/AIDS, that group of disease, than those who are heterosexual. Wow, 8,000 times more likely. And that's including implied that those who are promiscuous heterosexually. That's intense. I don't know why that is, but that's the statistic. So there's cause and effect in nature. Folks, let's not get mesmerized and catch the pandemic of dementia that's sweeping North America. Let's not allow those popular sayings and the hypnotic mantra to the music of a self-destructing bent in society and mankind. Don't let it catch you. Be inoculated. Truth will inoculate you. Ultimately, the reference that I go back to, Jesus said, if you abide in my word, my words abide in you. You are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You won't be able to help it. It'll be a byproduct. So that's my encouragement. I'm David Allen Carmichael. I call this thing, on, even though it's on commercial talk radio, I call it the Faith and Freedom Show, because I think, hey, have some guts and allow me to bring a faith dimension. Yes, even on public policy. Oh my goodness, what a radical idea. It's old school, actually, and it works. It's what made the country prosper. I don't know why people are trying to destroy that which has been extremely beneficial. It's kind of a self-destruction bent that we inherited from a forefather long ago. So again, as I said, I'm David Allen Carmichael. I call this Preservative Talk Radio. You can go to Preservative Talk Radio and find out more about me. I encourage you to provide support to the broadcasters. The station allows me to broadcast this. They're burning electricity. It actually costs money. You can do the kilowatt hours math looking at your own electric bill. I encourage you to go to the various restaurants and things that are advertised here. Thank you for the Liberty Works Radio Network. Support them. LWRN.net. David Allen Carmichael signing out. We'll be back tomorrow night.